Story that Monica has read to us about Naaman, a very successful man, a man of war, and the Bible tells us that the Lord had given him victory, and he had given victory to Aram through this man, a man of great courage. But then it says, but the man had leprosy. And it's so important. That point is so important that it's included there in the Bible. And more importantly, actually, the Word of God uses that to direct us to what Naaman experiences later, which is his salvation. I don't know if I introduced myself. My name is Bramwell, for those who don't know. So one of the leaders in this church, and speaking the Word of God is something that I really enjoy. So when I get the opportunity, I know that God is going to bless us. Amen. Amen. So the Word of God uses the sickness of this man to lead us to his decision of receiving salvation. And God places specific people upon his journey. In verse 3, we hear of this servant, a girl who was taken out of war and used in his family to serve his wife. He uses this little girl to just come and say to him, you know what? If only you knew about this prophet, you would be healed of this sickness. Amen. That is one, the first person that God places in the way of Naaman. And Naaman, of course, he takes a bold step and he follows through the servant's suggestion to say, go and see this man. He receives his healing, and the healing was so important to him. He's suffered from leprosy. It doesn't tell us how long he's had this, but we know that this is a pain that he even carries a lot of wealth to say, this is for the man who will cure my sickness. And then the king of Israel, when he receives this man, he tears his garments because, of course, they've been tormented by the Syrians and he doesn't want anything to do with these people. But that act that he takes of tearing his robes leads the prophet Elisha to listen to what Naaman has said. He says, send him to me because there's a God. So the solution that Elisha suggests to go and wash in the Jordan sounded so stupid to Naaman, because remember, he is a great man. He is a man who's been serving for a long time, and he has servants before him. And then this man is telling him, go and get yourself into a river, which he believes in his own words, that is not a clean river. But then again, God uses people. He puts specific people in his journey again. These servants, they go and say, do you know what? If he had told you something more difficult, wouldn't you have done it? But this very simple act, why don't you just do it? You never know what will happen. And he finally goes into the river and 7 times and comes out, he's cleansed. Amen. And even after he's cleansed, you see that some of his thinking hasn't changed yet. Of course, his thinking, he still needs to reward this man because he has healed him. But actually, it's the God of this prophet that has healed him. And the prophet's attitude, you can see very much like what Jesus' attitude is. The gift of salvation is free. It doesn't require payment for it. Amen. So Naaman is physically healed. But you can see, more importantly, his attitude has changed. Verse 17 and 18, he is a changed man. He has decided there is a greater God. There is more to this than just my physical problems. And of course, Elisha sends him off in peace. Remember, if you continue to read this later on, you'll find the story of a man who tries to benefit out of the prophet's kindness towards this man, or rather what God has done towards this man. So this is the story of Naaman. And sometimes when you look at a story like that, it seems for some people, again, when it's coming from the Old Testament, it seems a bit difficult to follow. But you know what? There's a greater story that underlies or underpins what Naaman's story is. And that greater story is the plan of God for man, the plan of God for each one of us. And we read about it in the Bible, which is the book that I believe in so much, I trust in, because it has shown me the truth about this life. And you know, the great thing is we have it on our phones nowadays. So wherever you go, you have the Bible. You can highlight whatever you like. You can put notes on it. So I love it that I can put it in my pocket and any time I can read it. So I enjoy reading my Bible. Amen. So God, in the beginning, of course, we know from the story of creation, those who have had the story of creation, he formed the earth and he filled it with good things, and then he created us to enjoy these good things. And then he formed us and he wanted us to be in constant relationship with him for the purpose of his own purpose. Amen. Very quiet this morning. And we know that God is spirit, he is powerful, and he is everywhere. He sees his creation. Today, when there is a hurricane, today, when there is an earthquake on earth, it's not that God does not see, God sees. Amen. When you are suffering, when you're going through difficulty, it's not that God doesn't see that, he sees that, because God is real and God is spirit. He is everywhere. He sees and knows every situation. Amen. And of course, he is also present in heaven. We read about it. And he is served by a multitude of angels. One of them, called Lucifer, or the devil as most of us know him, too proud to be under God's leadership, wanted to rule the heavens. And he fought to take control, but he was defeated and cast to earth. And his agenda, he's here on earth every day. He is spirit as well, and his agenda is to confuse as many people as possible, because he knows that his destination is hell. And he knows that hell is real. All he does is confuse and take away as many people as he can. We know that he is a liar. And in every word that he says, he will come in all sorts of forms. He will come and even deceive our family members or use their speech towards us to lead us away from God. Now we need to be alert to that, those who are believers. For many of us, we have listened to him and disobeyed God and gone away from the ways of God. So when God created man, the devil was there. When God created man, the devil shows up when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and he leads them away from God. He deceives them and takes them away from God. They eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, and they stay away from God. And God, the loving God, in his loving nature, he forgives them, but then there's a price to pay. He takes them out of the Garden of Eden. And once they're out of there, this is the beginning of death as we know it. But then again, the traits of sin are passed on to us through that sin that Adam committed. We read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. So when we are born, our parents think that they are leading us the right way, but you know what? There is sin that is in this world that has encroached and led even our parents away from God. And so when we are born, a lot of the ways that we live in are not of God. And so we walk into a lifestyle of sin, which God did not intend for us. So we inherit a tendency to sin, but we also inherit this leadership into sin that it leads us to death. Remember that God created Adam and ourselves to a relationship with him. And this relationship we were guaranteed would be fruitful. But in sin, we found a barrier that takes us away from God. We thank God because there is good news. Amen. And the good news that I live to tell today and that this church is established here to tell is that there is an option. There is an option. We are not going to die in sin if we choose not to. Amen. God is love, and his mercy sent Jesus. In his mercy, he sends Jesus to die and to restore that relationship that he planned for us. However, this time, the relationship is not just there. He did not just create it there. He gives us the option. He gives us the opportunity to make a decision, to make a choice that we're going to listen to him or choose to listen to the devil. When we choose to receive God's mercy and follow his ways, or choose to stay away from him and follow the devil's deception, he takes us away. And his plan is to steal our hearts, steal our minds, and to destroy whatever God planned for us. The Bible tells us of, in reference to Jesus, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, the one laid down his life for his friends." So hell was almost certain for each one of us if God didn't intervene, sending Jesus to die for our sins. And the greatest show of love is Jesus on the cross, dying on the cross for the purpose of setting us free. Amen. And so the Alpha course that comes on the 4th of October, of course, goes in deeper details of what this is all about, better than I can ever stand here and tell you about it. So those of you who are here today, I encourage you, those who have not got the message of Christ, this is the way to go. This is the place to be, to attend the Alpha course starting on the 4th of October. And for our families, the person I invited today did not show up, but I'm not going to give up telling them about Jesus, inviting them again and again, because this is the message of life. Amen. So back to the story of Naaman. Besides the physical healing, we see that his decision to trust God led him to eternal life. Amen. Why is Naaman's story so relevant? It's because though we experience a level of success in our life based on our own definition of what success is, we all have one thing in common. We all have this leprosy. We are born into sinful tendencies, as I've said before, but God blesses people in our lives like this servant, this girl, who told him about Jesus, and he also places other people who will lead us, like the people who told Naaman to dip himself in the River Jordan. And these are the key people who lead us to salvation. I was reading this book called 8 Habits of Effective Small Group Leaders by David Ali. I would recommend it if you are a leader of any ministry. And of course, if you are a leader of any kind of small group, this is a very, very powerful book. This man, from leading small groups in his basement with just 12 people, he's led bigger churches now. Churches have been established because of his service, churches that have thousands of people. And in his book, he talks about 80 to 90% people who attend church today being led to church out of invitation. And he says, in his churches, out of every 1,000 people, 999 people were actually invited by someone from the church. So only one out of 1,000 walked through the doors to his church. So what I'm trying to say is the people in our families will hear of the message of salvation through us speaking up and telling them about Jesus. And like Naaman who dipped in the Jordan, the Bible tells us that if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and that you are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So this declaration is what our friends and family need to make in order to receive the message of Christ. It is not complicated, but it is the steps that follow that really matter, because we decide that we're going to follow Jesus. And you know what matters? Again, after that, the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit who leads you from there on. So we are made right with God, and this changes our course, and we know that hell is not for us. Heaven is where we belong. Amen. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, he becomes our helper. He becomes the one who tells us this is the way to follow. Turn away from this way. Turn away from this, because this leads you to disobedience. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes with the following attributes that become your new tendencies when you receive Jesus in your life. And that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these are things that the Holy Spirit brings when you receive Christ. Amen. All of these are things that God wants us to fulfill on this earth. These are the things he wants us to lead people towards. Amen. He wants us to bring joy on this earth, and that's why the Holy Spirit comes with joy. That's why the Holy Spirit comes with peace in our hearts. That's why the Holy Spirit brings peace. That's why the Holy Spirit causes us to be patient. That's why the Holy Spirit makes us to be kind. And so when you join the Alpha Course, you learn how the Holy Spirit leads you in these areas. Amen. So in your life as a Christian, as you receive Christ, you start to have new ways of thinking, new ways of living, because Jesus has washed away the old and has brought in the new, and you begin a new life led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some people think the Holy Spirit is scary. No, he is not. I experience the leadership of the Holy Spirit every single day, and he will lead you even to know what to do on every single day when you're sitting at your work, at your desk at work. He leads you to know what to say to the person sitting next to you. And his voice is very gentle. His voice is gentle. He is kind. He speaks in a way that you can understand. He doesn't force you to change things that you refuse to change, but you know there is a consequence, of course, of being disobedient. So Naaman's story is for those who have not received salvation, those who don't know anything about him. And the message today is, who cares? We know that Naaman was healed. And we know that Jesus brings the greatest show of love to us. But today again, Jesus has put the power in your hands to tell people around you about his salvation. Amen. It is in your hands, it is in your heart to be able to tell people about Jesus. It is a decision you have to make, to open up and tell them that there is hell and there is life, to make a choice that leads them to Christ. Amen. The message of salvation is for you people who believe as well. The message of salvation is for us who have already believed, maybe have walked away from Christ, or maybe have not experienced the full power of the Holy Spirit. So when you look at the story of Naaman, that is about us too. Amen. Amen. So to you who have received Christ, You're probably thinking, I have been to the Jordan, I have received salvation, and I've received the Holy Spirit. And this is great because the Holy Spirit has power. But my question to you today is, where is the love that comes through the Holy Spirit? Where is your love for other people? If you care so much about your family and friends, why are they not here to hear the message of salvation? And if you love them so much, why are you not telling them that there is a better life? The message of salvation is for them. Amen. Amen. Where is your joy? When you wake up every day, when you wake up every morning, what do you spend your day doing? Where does your joy come from? Does the Holy Spirit lead you to be a joyful person, a person that your colleagues at work want to relate with? Is it in your home? Are you the person that your family want to relate with? Are you the person whom people find peace in? Are you the person that your family will want to run to when they need to find peace? What do you do when things are not going your way? Where is the peace that the Holy Spirit brings? Where is the patience? What do you do when someone hurts you or someone doesn't keep their word? What's your reaction? Very quiet. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, not condemnation, because we know that that's the enemy's plan. When you hear this word, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit enables you to experience that love, to experience that joy, to experience that peace, to experience that patience. Amen. He is not calling upon you to feel condemned, to feel lost. He is calling you to hear this word and make amends where necessary. Amen. Where is the goodness, the faithfulness? Where's the gentleness? And where is the self-control? Where is your kindness? What do you say when your friends are not present, when they are not with you? What do you say about them? Think about these things. What did you do when we asked you to help those who cannot walk into our building without steps? What was your reaction? What was your response to that? What did you do or say when you heard that there are many in our neighborhood who need to know about Christ? Did you decide it was someone else's responsibility to reach out to them and to your friends? Or did you do something about it? So the message today is for those who don't know about Christ, and of course it's for us to think about these things and look to Christ. Amen. Think about this. What would happen if each one of us was so deliberate about telling others about Jesus, and we go and ask the Holy Spirit to point us to whom to tell about Christ? And he would tell us, that is the person I want you to tell to come and receive salvation. What would happen if each one of us just decided that this year I want to lead one person to Christ and to see God's love? If we did that, our numbers would double in this place. Amen? Our numbers would double, but more importantly, people will come to Jesus and they will know that their lives have been changed. Amen. Amen. And if they say no, that as they do sometimes, the Holy Spirit points us to someone else. Amen. Almost every week, I have these friends who consistently tell me to go to their church and see what it's like. And they are so deliberate about telling me about this because they know that there is Christ in their church. They know that the message of salvation is spoken in their church. They are so passionate about this. Even though I've said no, they never stop. they continue doing that. So my word to you today is, even when people tell you, no, they don't want to hear about Jesus, find another way to tell it to them. Because it's so important that they know Christ. Do not give up. Amen. Do not give up, because it is so important that they receive salvation. You've also had us talk about churches closing because there is lack of attendance and there's lack of finances. The truth is so close to us, and sometimes it's very easy to ignore and decide that happens to other churches. But you know the truth is, if we don't reach out to people and tell them about Christ, these are situations that creep in and you find churches closing. But we don't want that to happen. Amen. Because I tell you, this church, God established this church in this community for the people of Greenwich. And so when it happens that things are not going right, if things are not going right in your church, the first thing you think about is not to walk out and go to another church. The first thing you need to think about is, what can I do about this situation to change it? Amen. Because God has established us here for his great purpose. And that is why we need to stand up and be in this place for his purposes. Amen. So we are not going to step aside when things are not going right. When you see those empty seats, we don't walk away. We reach out to God and say, point us to people that we can invite. Point us to people who need to know about Christ. Amen. This has been our challenge in this church. I've been here almost 10 years, maybe more. And we talk about attendance. We talk about our finances. And I pray that the end is coming, amen. That we will not be in a situation where we're just talking about the finances and attendance and nothing changes. We want to see that changed, amen. We are praying to God, and I believe that he's going to change this situation. Can you imagine if each one of us decided to give their tithes? Can you imagine if each one of us decided to set aside money for our offering, as the Apostle Paul says, at the beginning of the week, set aside money for your offering. If we set aside, if each of us who is earning an income set aside £10 each week, we would break even. Amen. Amen. Who are the men and women who will stand and say, let God's kingdom be built in this community? And I'm reminding you these things. Some of you may be thinking, this needs to be a defining moment. I need to change my ways, or I need to do something about this. I need to reach out to my family. I need to reach out to those who don't know Jesus. And I know that in some cases, the enemy is saying, don't be bothered, don't do anything about that. And I pray that God will change your mind. Amen. Father, I pray that your agenda will reign in this church. I pray that, Lord, the enemy's schemes will be broken in this place, and that, Jesus, you will reign in the community we live in, O Lord Jesus. I pray that your people will walk in freedom of knowing who their Savior is, and they will walk in the freedom of knowing that you are their Redeemer. They will walk in the freedom of knowing that they can serve you, in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of the times we believe that we can change things, we can fix things in our own power. The truth is, we cannot. This river that is Jesus, I have personally gone there many times. These things that I'm telling you about peace, patience, and kindness are not things that are easy to embrace. They're not easy for man to embrace. So we have to trust in Jesus. We cannot do it in our own strength. It's not by your own power that you can do these things. You have to reach out to Jesus and say, how do I do these things? Amen. I cannot count the number of times that I've been to the Jordan, and I know today I will be there again, dipping again, and saying, Father, I need your cleansing. I need you to lead me to walk in the ways of your righteousness. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is your helper, and he has the power to help you to overcome sin. And he can help you to bear good fruit. Amen. The Holy Spirit can help you to be productive at work. Amen. The Holy Spirit can guide you even in choosing the right bus to get on this afternoon. Amen. And there is so much more that the Holy Spirit can do if you only choose to follow His ways. Amen. I believe that God has a purpose for you being here today. I know those seats are not full. They are empty there. And I know that the enemy has a scheme that leads people away from God. But I know that God has a purpose for you being here today. And I pray that He will fulfill it because He loves you. He loves you. And that is why Jesus died for your sins. Amen. So, with this great show of love, what will you do with it? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Mm-hmm.